Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another mini episode of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Hilton, and who's playing a pocket battler with me tonight?
Oh, you have Capcom side talk games chew bubblegums Adam with you tonight.
Welcome. And we are here to talk about a game I never thought I'd be playing or have put 8 hours into in over the course of like a couple days. We are to talk about SNK vs. Capcom, the match of the millennium for Neo Geo Pocket Color. Never thought I'd be saying that in this podcast. Released in December of 1999.
Yeah, this is right up my alley. Fighting games, especially a Capcom one. I'm a big SNK fan, so Fatal Fury, King of Fighters, all of those. But I remember a few years ago we were doing an episode and I brought this up as one of my favorite handheld games. And seeing that you put 8 hours into it in a few days, I think you understand the charm this game brings.
I do. I mean, I am not a fan of fighting games, really. That's why, if anyone's wondering, they haven't been on the show very often, because they're not really my thing. I mean, you brought this up in the top 10 handhelds, the first top 10 that we did fucking years ago at this point. And it's always been on my mind. I forgot it existed, and randomly I found it somehow on Steam. And they're like, oh, it's on sale for $3. And I'm like, I'm a sucker for Steam. So, you know, I buy it. I remember I sent you a thing. You said, hey, it's on Steam. You know, like, this is the game you talked about. And then I know you bought it too back then. And then that was, I think, September of 2023. And then it wasn't until we're recording this in January of 2024. Not when you're hearing this, but when we're recording this. And it's always been on my mind. Is this a game that I should play? And I'm not a big SNK fan. I'm not an SNK fan at all. I'm somewhat of a Street Fighter fan. I like the lore, which is odd for people when I say that. But I just like the story of it. But I don't really play the games much. I just watch YouTube videos of people talking about the lore.
Okay.
That's what I do with fighters. I'm suck at fighters. They've never been my thing. I've never liked them, but I always enjoy just watching videos about them. Top Hat Gaming is a guy that does really good videos on fighting series on YouTube. Top Hat Gaming Man.
I'll have to check him out then.
So that's also how I got reintroduced to this game too. After you had mentioned it at some point sometime in 2023, I ended up watching a ton of his videos and he talked about this game too. I mean, I could do without him walking around with a top hat and showing the Neo Geo color off in different countries, but other than that,
I mean, it's such a fun, and honestly, I think a lot of games, fighting games, have been tried to be ported over into the handheld scene, and sometimes they work. More often than not, they get butchered, massacred. They're horrible ports.
This isn't even a port. This was a brand new game made for handheld.
Exactly. And that's what, and it took everything the Neo Geo Pocket Color could do and pushed it. I think this is like one of the biggest games on the Neo Geo Pocket Color that used up most of the cart. Everything from the characters, every character is faithfully represented by their moveset, by the music, and their sprite style, all in, well, like little chibi pocket form.
So did you have a Neo Pocket, what the fuck this thing is called back then?
Neo Geo Pocket Color?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No. But I had the access to internet, and this was a game, good point. You know.
I understand exactly.
So.
Okay, I was thinking maybe you hadn't, because when you talked finally of this game, I was like, okay, because I guess I, as a guy who loves emulation, I never messed around with Neo Geo, because I just, well, one, there was nothing there that interested me, and I had no history, so I never went down that road. And I was never pushed down that road either.
It's, well, like, I'm a sucker for fighting games. So even though I have played, you know, Capcom versus SNK or SNK versus Capcom on Dreamcast and in arcades or however, you know, and I've played Street Fighter 2 every time it comes out. Oh, got released for Switch. I'm buying it. I don't need to. I have 50 other copies of it, but now I have it on my Switch.
Hey, the Switch version of Street Fighter 2 has the two last characters that game will ever get and are only on that version. So,
And actually, this game's on the Switch as well.
Yeah, I heard that. I was surprised that this game is available on Switch and on Steam. Like, it exists. I'm just like, that is not what I expected. For those that don't know or wondering why it's SNK, this is actually the first SNK versus Capcom or any of that series that came out. when right before SNK went and got into a lot of trouble financially, they made a deal with Capcom where Capcom could use their characters, SNK could use the Capcom characters, and then the money, whoever published the game and develop it, they would get all the money. They wouldn't have to share it. But and they were able to make so many games for each company, something like that.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
It was in the this is late 90s, early 2000s, as far as the series goes. I think we get two SVC Capcom games, I think, and then we only get one, and we get two Capcom versus SNK games for sure.
Yeah, I think it was SNK versus Capcom, like Chaos or something like that, was like a revised version, but...
Yeah, there's that too. Capcom did that. It's like, here, buy a whole new version for $50 with two new characters! Woohoo!
And I was like, two new characters sold.
So I wasn't really thinking much about this game. I just needed something to fill time because I was ahead of the schedule. And I was like, hey, what can I play quick with somebody? And I always remember you talked about this. So I booted it up and I was like, okay, I'll play through the couple characters, see what I think. And over the course of 8 hours, I ended up beating this game with almost every character. It got to the point where it was too hard to unlock characters. And I got tired of the grind for the achievement. I got all but one achievement.
That's impressive.
And it didn't save one of the things I did. So like I unlocked Evil Ryu, but then it didn't save that I did it. So I got the achievement for it. But then when I reset the game or did something, it is going to make me finish it. And I'm just like, I don't care. But yeah, no, I did not expect to put that much time into this game at all.
Again, this is a perfect pocket game. The arcade ladder can be done relatively quick, you know, for easy play. It does something really nice with, you know, fighting games have a bunch of buttons and the Neo Geo Pocket only had two buttons. So depending on how long you held the button, so you could tap or press it and you would alternate between light and heavy attacks.
I had no idea how anything worked because when I play fighters, I don't look up practice. I don't look up nothing. I just press buttons, see what happens, and then try to recreate whatever I did.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. You tap punch, you get a light punch. If you like press and hold it for like a second, or not even that, but just longer than a tap, you'll get the heavy version of it.
Oh, so, yeah. That's cool. I did not know that. Like I had, again, no idea. I was just playing this game, just experimenting with it. And I did pull off stuff. I was able to pull, every so often I could pull off one of like is that considered ultra combos or their special moves whenever you fill the bar up and you do something?
I mean, super move.
Okay.
Yeah.
I pulled them off sometimes. Not super often, but sometimes I could do it.
And for the most part, it's basically like two quarter circle forwards punch, two quarter circle forwards back, or, you know, something like that.
I had no idea. I would just try different. I always try quarter circle because I know that's a common button press in fighters. Somehow the animation works. Like you said, these are really like chibi little forms of Capcom and SNK characters, and it is really adorable, and it looks like you're playing a Game Boy Color game, that same type of like graphic style.
Oh, super simple. But if you pulled up a character and put it on the screen, you would know immediately who it was, just because they squashed them down and made them a little bit, you know, chunkier, so that way you could actually see the characters. You could get facial animations, taunts, even victory dance poses and stuff like that.
I knew them on the right side. I didn't know them on the left side.
Well, again, you're not an SNK fan, so.
No, I recognize Terry Bogard.
I was going to say, I think you would recognize Terry. That would be, the easiest one.
No, Fatal Fury.
Okay. Haramaru from Samurai Showdown.
Oh, that's the guy with the sword and the white cloak or... Yep. Yes, I recognized him, and I recognize Mai.
Oh, yeah, well.
And that's it. Those are the only characters I knew who they were in this game on the SNK side. We should talk about the characters in this game. So on the Capcom side, you have Ken, Ryu, Chun-Li, Morgan from Darkstalkers, Zangief, Felicia from Darkstalkers, Sakura, is that Alpha she's from? Street Fighter Alpha?
Yeah, Alpha and Rival Schools, but Alpha.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have Dan, you have Guile, and then you have four secret characters, Akuma, BB Hood from Darkstalkers, M. Bison, and Evil Ryu, if you can unlock him. And if you want to do the SNK side, because you know them better than I do.
You have Akari, Athena, Geese, Haramaru, Iori, Kyo, Leona, Mai, Nakaroru, Orochi Iori, Ryo, Terry, and Yuri.
None of those names mean anything to me, and
I beat this game many times.
They're just like all the Capcom characters. They're staples.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, but it was cool to have all these characters, and the fact that you got to unlock characters pushed me. Like when I was a kid, I was never good at fighters. I never liked fighters, but I would try to unlock all the characters, and that was my completing, in quotation, the game. Unlock all the characters and beat the arcade mode at least once with each character.
Yeah.
Didn't usually happen, but that was always my like goal.
I was discussing this with someone the other day and how Tekken 3 is one of the best fighting games of all time. And
I like that game.
And it's something nowadays you don't get unless you get DLC. You know, you pay to unlock them. But I miss when you started a game and you had your bare bone characters and it gave you incentive to run through arcade to play this character to unlock, you know, the next character. You go through arcade, yeah, play with this character or do this mode. It gave you all these incentives to play the game. Mortal Kombat does it occasionally where you beat the game and it'll unlock like one character. But you never know who you're going to like to play as, you know, unless you go in and try. But nowadays, games have a starting base roster of almost like 30 characters sometimes. And I know Mortal Kombat 1, half the roster I'm just not even interested in because there's no reason for me to play them.
I don't like the fact that gaming has really went to where, you know, for fighting games, you don't unlock characters, you just buy them with another pass. Like, mm-hmm. I get it, but for me, that would take away part of what I liked about fighters, unlocking stuff.
Smash Brothers is the best example. It's so great after a match or something happens and, you know, you get that little alarm and it's like, here comes a new challenger. And you're like, yes.
I thought this game was going to do that, but it didn't. But I was expecting it because like each time you beat an arcade mode, you'll get rid of some squares and you'll see the shadow form of a character. But then when you get all the squares, it just shows them and then they're playable.
Yeah, it takes like 2 to 3 times.
Not where I was at.
Really?
The more characters you unlock on each side, and harder it gets to unlock characters. Like at first I could play in the lowest difficulty and get 3 squares, and I'd get 2 squares, and I'd get 1 square. So then I bump it up to easy, I'd get more squares. At the point I was at, once you unlock everybody but the last character, you have to at least beat the game on normal to unlock each square, and there's 12 squares or harder.
Damn.
So it pushes you at a certain point where it's like, if you want that last character, you got to get good. Like, and that's what broke me. Cause I'm like, beating this on normal, I can do it, but it is hard and I don't like it.
Who was your character? Like, who did you gravitate towards the most in this game?
Ryu.
Ryu. Gotcha.
On the Capcom side, I really enjoyed Ryu. On the SNK side, the guy with the sword, you just said his name.
Haramaru.
He has a really good attack that I just figured out where I could press back and either might have been a heavy punch, and he would just slash them in the face and just it had a pause. You needed them to get close to you or for them to do nothing, which, you know, surprisingly, they don't do a whole lot easy, and you could pull it off, and it was do some big damage. He could really just rip apart a health bar if you get a hold of them.
He does. He's always my one of my backup characters. Like if I'm doing team or tag, I'll have him in the back just because, like you said, he is just super beefy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's another thing about this game. It has regular mode in arcade, tag, where you have 2 players, and then team, where you have 3 players versus 3, except for the mandatory battles near the end of the map, near the end of the arcade mode.
Mm-hmm. And then it's also got little mini games too. Did you play any of the mini games? Or?
Oh yeah, I had to do that for achievements.
Okay, I'm just fair enough.
I got more into this game than I expected. Like I came into this with no anticipation, and it was fun.
Love that. Did you unlock any of the other special attacks, or did you not worry about that?
Because I don't understand what you're talking about, so probably not.
So during the mini games and, well, everything in the Olympic mode, you get points, and then you can take those points and unlock a master skill.
Oh.
So you unlock another super move for that corresponding character.
Oh, okay. Is that from like playing them a certain amount of time or something?
You can unlock points like that as well, but just in general, you'll get, I think they're called VS points, and then, yeah, you can cash in VS points, like 4,000 points on Ryu will unlock his Shin Shoryuken.
That's really cool. No, I saw it, but I didn't understand what it was, and I didn't pull off moves anyway, really, so I didn't pay any attention to it. I just did one now, but that's cool. See, there's lots of little fighter, but like some of the stuff in the Olympic mode is you have a survival mode, which is basically what it sounds like. You fight a bunch of people. You have time attack, basically what it sounds like. Beat a bunch of people in a certain amount of time. First blast, you do have 10 matches where you have to get whoever gets first attack. You got to hit them first, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You have and then on the Capcom side, you have Ghost Trick.
Yeah.
This, I did not, I knew about it because of Top Hat Gaming Man. But they made a sprite for Arthur, and you have a little mini game where you jump back and forth collecting gold while the Red Goblin taunts you and tries to kill you.
You have a Felicia DDR style game.
Wait, cool.
Did you ever play Metal Slug?
No. Okay, I know of it, but I've never actually played it.
I was going to say, because on the SNK side, there's Marco from Metal Slug and for the like alien shooting game and stuff like that.
I knew it was from Metal Slug because the internet told me.
Okay.
But I didn't actually do anything with it. I did play every single one because you have to in order to get the achievement or the achievements.
You still are just achievement whore.
I normally don't give a shit, but it was just like with a fighting game, I need an incentive, and that's the only incentive for me.
Okay.
Is to have something. And for this episode, I wanted to get the most out of the game that I could instead of coming here and going, yeah, I beat it once with a character. Okay. Like, I wanted to experience this game much as I could. That's why I went for the achievements until it got to the point where it's like, I need to beat it on normal 11 times. And that grind just wasn't worth it to me. I did it once.
That's all you need to do.
Not if you want to unlock the character.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you know, again,
that's what broke me. It just was too much. If I could have kept doing it on easy, I would have just kept running through it every so often throughout the day and beat it 11 times because it takes like 5 minutes, if that. I mean, after it doesn't. Well, no, it takes longer than that. It takes like 15. But still, I could do it pretty quick.
And I think, again, the grind is because, well, this was a pocket game. Like this, of course, you could sit around your house and play it. But I'm thinking like metro commutes or in the car, just on an airplane or something. It just unlocking characters and beating it gives you that incentive to keep playing it because, well, I mean, that's what you want in a game. You want a little bit of incentive to keep grinding.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, this is like, you know, if you had a Neo Geo Pocket Color, like this would be a great game for you to just have in your pocket. I mean, I play this on the Steam Deck. It does not fit in my pocket, by the way, but yeah, I don't have JNCO jeans.
Hey, they're coming back. They're coming back.
I heard that.
That's insane.
But like, you know, I get it. The funny thing on the Steam Deck is when you play it, the screen is the Neo Geo Pocket Color, and then the actual screen of what the game would be, where you see the game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was funny.
Little border around it.
And it doesn't even stretch the Neo Geo Pocket all the way to the full screen of the Steam Deck. So I'm wondering if the screen was actually that small on the Pocket Color.
I don't think I've ever even seen a Pocket Color. I think they're like around the same size as a Game Gear. So probably.
Oh, I think they look smaller from in the YouTube when I see the guy hold it in his hand. But okay. Then again, I can't really tell. I've never seen one in person. I forgot they existed until you told me.
Yeah, now I want one. Oh,
if you want to spend money, eBay will help you out, buddy.
Yeah, those things are tiny.
Okay, so maybe it's actually like accurate size.
It's around like a Game Boy Advance, it looks like.
It's small.
Yeah.
But I mean, this game it had good graphics. It has a lot of replayability. Because like, I normally don't mess around with it, but I just kept playing because I was having fun. And I wanted to beat it with every character. I did everyone on the Capcom side but Evil Ryu because I didn't have him very long. And before it glitched out, before I messed up and I have to unlock him again, which I just, not happening. And then on the SNK side, I beat it with almost everybody but a few of the unlockable characters I didn't get around to.
And again, that's what makes it good. You can do combos in this game. Like if you're a fighting game fan, you can jump in and be like, this is a fighting game. There's depth to it. You know, there's three different variants. You have like your traditional Capcom one. You build up the meter, you unleash a special move. You have the SNK groove, which SNK style, if you've ever played one, you know, more damage. Yeah. Well, more damage. You can do a bigger POW attack, which is essentially another special move. And then you have a combination of like a King of Fighters 2008, 2009 and Street Fighter Alpha, where you can do custom combos and just like really go ham with some cool stuff if you know what you're doing.
But the fact is they let you choose what mode you want. Mm-hmm. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I would love to see like a Fightcade tournament on this. I know they exist, but I need to get on there and see if there is one. I like to play.
I mean, just like I was really surprised when I found out they only had two buttons. I'm like, two buttons? But I did not realize that they made it to where you hold down a button is the heavy attack mood. I probably did it without, but I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't talk to anybody.
I'm always here for your fighting games. Anything you need.
I don't do many of them. This was really just a spur of the moment. I beat my game for the show. I'm not ready to start the next game. I need to play something. That's how this happened. I mean, that's really what it is. I have a huge list of just stuff that I want to get to in my head. And then I was like, oh, we'll check this box.
Well, I'm glad you played it. I really am. Because now, I was going to say, now you understand why I made my list.
Yeah, no, I understand why you like this game. I mean, yeah. I'm not a big fighter guy, but it was still fun. And the chibi art really works in this. The sprites look good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, way more than I expected.
Very simple. And Guile's theme is still a slap in MIDI form. Like, it's...
This game had music?
Huh. Oh, you missed out on some good, like... Well, not remasters in MIDI of popular songs.
It would have
meant
nothing to me except for maybe a Street Fighter song. And that only be stuff from Street Fighter 2.
Well, there you go. Most of them, that's what they have.
I mean, because I'm not this person. I've never played a Darkstalker game. I know who Morgan and Felicia are in BB Hood. I only know who BB Hood is because she's in the one Dreamcast game we covered on this podcast. She's in that Cannon Spike.
Mm-hmm.
So I know who she is, sort of, and from just osmosis of watching video game videos, but, like, these characters mean nothing to me.
Again, just people that you would recognize from their series.
That's... Yeah, no, the Capcom side I was pretty aware of. It was the SNK side where I was just like, I know what King of Fighters is, I know what Fatal Fury is, and that's about as far as it goes.
Art of Fighting.
I know it was a Super Nintendo game that I considered a bad Super Nintendo game back when I was a kid, because we didn't like fighters, so.
I can get it.
I just remember I think we found it on ROM. They were like, this is stupid. And that was about as far as it went back in those days. You know, when downloading ROM, be like, all right, I'm going to download the Super Nintendo ROM on dial-up. I'll come back in an hour. It should be done.
This was not worth the hour I wasted.
Pretty much. I was introduced to a website that I'm pretty sure doesn't exist anymore called planetemu.net. That was in French. And that's where I got so many freaking SNES ROMs and everything from back then in the day.
I think I got all my stuff and they still exist. It still exists like it did in the early 2000s. Cool ROMs loaded with just not good stuff.
Yeah, that's why I don't use cool ROMs.
I use a certain layer. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Yeah. No, I have a certain site that I go to that's pretty good, but it doesn't have Neo Geo or Neo Geo Pocket. That's the one reason why I've never touched any of those games, really. I mean, had I not been able to just buy this on Steam, I probably wouldn't even ever played it because I wouldn't have had the interest to go through the trouble to find a ROM and get this to work. But the fact that I could buy it legally for $3 was like, sold!
It is one of the best, if not the best, $3 I've ever spent on a game. But
I'll disagree, but it was good.
Well, yeah. I probably have some hidden gems that I've bought for $3 that I never played.
Yeah, that's Steam for it, yeah.
I've gotten better.
I buy all sorts of shit with the idea that, we'll see, one day.
Like I said, I've gotten better. I think Steam prices or sales aren't as good as they used to be. And that kind of like, it's what does it for me.
Hey, it's not always a bad thing. Then you buy less that you don't want.
Yeah.
Another thing with the arcade mode that got me is besides like the normal arcade mode where you fight each character, you have a rival fight that you can lose and it just affects your ending. Then you get to a point where you fight three people in a team mode, one versus three. But each round, you get a little bit more health back. I thought that was cool, where you're fighting, like, guards, in quotations, essentially, where they just took other characters and made them like, one color sprite and just said, oh, here they are. They're a guard.
Yep. Cool. There's stories. Your character has an ending. It is a fully fleshed-out fighting game, and that's what's so good about it.
And then you fight Goose, which is, I guess, is he the villain from no, Fatal Fury?
Not singular. He's plural. Oh. He's geese.
I unlocked him. I forgot his name. I played the game with a wand. I'm like, I don't care about him. But you fight geese and you fight M. Bison. Where you in a tag fight for them, you have your one character. If you pick the regular mode and you don't get any health refill, you've got to beat both of them.
Yeah, I think it's called like the G&B Alliance or something like that. Or yeah,
something like that. And then after you beat them, if you beat your rival. If you're playing as a Capcom character, you fight, is it Iori or whatever the fuck this was?
Iori.
Who is this guy?
So Iori is, so it gets really complicated on the SNK side because Geese has been a boss in like King of Fighters and like Fatal Fury. Hey, there's also Rugal, but he doesn't make an appearance in this. But Iori is essentially what's the best way to put it? He's not the Ken, because that's technically Kyo, but he's just another well-stapled character in the game who gets the Orochi power and turns, well, evil.
Okay.
Yeah. You're going to have to, like, watch some Top Hat Gaming on the SNK side later.
Oh, no, you're fine. I mean, I probably... He doesn't do... I don't think he's done all the SNK stuff as much. He does a lot of Capcom shit, and that's what I've been watching.
Okay. But, yeah, he's one of my favorite SNK characters.
Okay.
I even got, like, a custom drawing of him on my wall and some stuff like that, but...
That's cool. I was just confused. I'm like, I knew who Evil Ryu was. I've never played Street Fighter Alpha or anything that I know he's in. Is he in Alpha?
Technically, it kind of, yeah. But what's really cool about this game is they did, well, obviously they did custom sprite work, but they decided to give Evil Ryu a new stance, like where he looks more evil. Whereas if you see him in any of the other games after... Well, before Street Fighter 4, he has the same pose as Ryu. He's just a color change. That's it. So seeing him like more hunched over and stuff like that's kind of, I don't know. I really enjoy that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that meant nothing to me. I was like, okay, cool. He's in here. All right. I don't know who he is, but all right.
He is what happens when Ryu doesn't control the Metsu Hadouken inside of him. And essentially turns into evil.
Okay, that's what Akuma is trying to get him to do, correct?
Exactly, yeah. Embrace the darkness.
Okay, but it's cool that you get to fight him. I mean, it's cool that they have this special little thing you can do at the end of the fight.
Oh, it's so cool. But it's, and that's, again, that shoots over to, you know, the other Capcom versus SNK games, where if you hit a certain criteria of points or perfects, stuff like that, you would trigger... an insanely stupid boss battle. And sometimes it was like Shin Akuma or God Rugal, but it still exists in this game. You just got to beat your rival.
I mean, they weren't that hard for me. I mean, and also in this version, we can rewind. I didn't have to usually because I was able to do it, but it was cool that it was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I appreciated that feature existed. I used it a couple times, mainly in the mini games in order to get a high score, or not high score, but just to get enough to unlock a medal so then I could get the achievement.
Oh, that's smart. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that's what I did. Because well, I wanted the thing. I wanted all the. I was gonna go for all the achievements just to have a way to like. Because I like to beat games, and a fighter is like, how do you beat a fighter?
Yeah, achievements.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to really beat it in quotations. You know, you just you don't. So you that's just, how it kind of happened.
You continuously get good. That's all.
But that's never been for me. Like, I don't play fighters. There was one time, you know, when I was in high school, I had a friend of mine that was really big into fighters. He was trying to teach me to get better at Tekken. It never worked, by the way. But, like, I remember sitting there just practicing, and I'm just like, this is not for me.
Yeah, but at least you realize that. Where I've been playing Tekken Tag 2 and Tekken 7 for the past 2 weeks straight because Tekken 8 releases Friday. And I'm like, I can't. I've been playing the demo to that. I can't wait.
I'm glad that series is still going, but means nothing to me. But hey, I do know Tekken better than I know SNK, by the way.
Hey.
I played Tekken 1, 2, 3, 4, up to, and some 5, back in when I was in high school. My friend was big into Tekken, so I know that series to a degree. I know Mortal Kombat very well. SNK is one of the series that I know nothing about.
That's perfectly fine.
I want to say back when I was in high school, like the same guy that was in the fighting games, he had picked up like a Capcom versus SNK. Or he played it at one point, but he didn't like it, so we never... I feel like at some point we experienced it, and we're like, this is stupid, or it just wasn't for us, and I know I played King of Fighters games. I would not be surprised if I looked to my left hard enough that there's a King of Fighters somewhere in my 360 collection.
Probably 13. I was going to say probably 13. I can almost guarantee it's 13.
I wouldn't be surprised. I can't tell from here, because I can't see all the Ks. Maybe I don't see a lot of Ks, so I might have never get it, but... I know I have it on Steam. I can tell you that much. So,
13 is a fan favorite. Okay. It's yeah. Besides like 2002 and Garu, Mark of the Wolves, yeah, 13's up there with the ones people want to play.
Like I knew of the SNK stuff for Super Nintendo. I knew of Art of Fighting. I knew Fatal Fury. I know I've seen the Fatal Fury movie at one point. I want to say back in the day when I was actually more interested in stuff like that. But it means nothing to me.
Yeah.
you know, it's just not a series that I care about.
Yeah, you don't need to. You've got enough on your plate.
I do. I have plenty. Street Fighter I like, though. Street Fighter 2 was a game I played a lot of. So, like, with this game, that's why I gravitated towards all the Capcom characters. I played almost those constantly, except for the fact that with this game, you have to switch to unlock characters. Mm-hmm. If you want to unlock all the Capcom, like, the way the game works, you beat enough times the Capcom character, you unlock them, and then you switch over to SNK, play through an SNK stuff, unlock one of their characters. Like, you might have been able to keep going either way, but you only unlock SNK by beating it with SNK.
Yeah.
It was fun. I mean, it gave me an incentive to try other people. I also turned it down to one round instead of two, so the game would go faster.
Smart.
It's just me. I want the game to, I don't like fighting twice. I mean, I get the point of it. Like, I understand, like, with, you know, same thing, like, with sports, like, you want the best out of, like, you know, best out of three. You don't want it to be where it's, you know, one, they got lucky, and it just doesn't, yeah. Except for football, you don't want that.
But hey, you're not playing against people. You're playing against the computer.
Yeah, so then there's really no point. I mean, it's just one of those games that I feel like people don't even know it exists.
Hopefully now there'll be a resurgence on the Switch or Steam. I cannot say it enough. It's so much fun and so well done. You just need to, well, even if you're not a fighting game fan, pick it up because it's easy to play. You have two buttons that you need to worry about, you know, compared to sometimes six or even more.
It was a good Steam Deck game, too. I mean, this is something that if I was a guy that kept games on my Steam Deck and just played through stuff at different times, like, this could be something nice. Like, hey, I just want to do a match and run through and I'll just turn it out. I'll play the arcade mode one, turn it off, and then play it again later. But I'm not that guy. So, I mean, the only game that stays on my Steam Deck forever is Vampire Survivors.
I would say, I think this is probably about the same size as Vampire Survivors, too. It's like 850 megabytes.
It's not even that big. Come on now.
Oh.
It's hundreds of megabytes or something. Like, it's small. Well, I mean, it's a Neo Geo Pocket Color game. I mean, they weren't that big back then.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
So, it's a small game. But that's fine. I mean, I'm happy to find out that it's on Switch and that it's out there for more people to play, because otherwise the only people that would have experienced it are going to be people that sail the seven seas and are, like, you know, playing ROM, which isn't, a lot of people don't do that. You know, a lot of people don't want to mess with that. I mean, I never even mess with Neo Geo ROMs, and that's not for lack of, just for lack of caring, not for lack of skill.
Like I said, this was the only reason. This is the only reason I ever had the ability to play this game. I couldn't name another Neo Geo Pocket game. Actually, I could, but it.
I can, but.
Yeah.
How were you introduced to this game?
I think I might have saw it in a magazine. Could have been Game Informer or something. And I was like, all right, first off, I've never seen characters that look like this, so I need to play it. And then that was it. I was like, all right, and I played it.
Were you a Capcom fan or a SNK fan at the time, or both?
Both. Okay. Dude, I've been playing Street Fighter since I was two. Like, if any fighting game came my way, I played it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Even Clay Fighters and Balls. Oh,
That's a bad game.
It's got character. That's all I'll say. It's got character.
I'm pretty sure it's a bad game. And a very expensive 64 game if you're a collector.
I'll show you a picture in a second.
Okay, because the 64 Sculptor's Cut, I know, is worth a ton of money.
I don't have the Sculptor's Cut, but I do have 63rd and a quarter.
I don't understand. Like, stuff like that is why I don't give a shit about retro gaming. Like, okay, I love retro gaming, but I don't give a shit about collecting them.
Yeah, it's. I got this game. I got 63rd and a quarter, I think, for like $15.
Oh, that's not bad then.
Yeah, and again, it's not Sculptor's Cut, but it was. I needed it.
I mean, nothing wrong with, like, collecting, but when you're spending like $100, $300 for a game, that's when I'm like, there's a limit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's. Yeah, that's my limit, especially the fact that, you know, other ways to play old games. So
exactly. I think there's only one 64 game that I would like to get in box, and that's just because it's one of my favorite games. That's Conker. But that's going for like $300. Right. Yeah, I love that game so much.
I need to play it on this podcast one day, but I want to. But the problem is that then I have to play it. So
there's nothing wrong with playing that.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Did you ever play Banjo-Tooie or Banjo-Kazooie?
I did. You can go listen to episode 8 or so where I bitched about it for.
Oh, never mind. I say, it's essentially that style of game.
I played Conker's Bad Fur Day back in the day. My friend had it when PS2 first came out, and we played a bunch of it. And I just, it's always on my list that I want to go back to, and I want to finish it, and I want to cover it on this podcast, but I'll have to do save states. It probably won't be so bad, but.
Oh, it's a ride.
I'm also not a platformer guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of platforming in that one. There's also a lot of
pee. That game's hard.
Oh, yeah.
That was my other issue. I played a decent amount of that game. That game's hard. So
I blame that game for my lovely sentence enhancers that I use frequently on a day-to-day basis now.
But no, it's definitely a cool game. Anything else you want to say about this game?
The Millennium.
No, I mean, it's so simple. It's got plenty of modes. Any fighting game fan can pick it up and do combos and do their specials and just play it. You got neutral or footsies, or I don't know what you want me to call it. But there's tactics in it. It's a fighting game, and it's a good one.
I just really like the sprite work, too. And I mean, if I was a Perler Bead guy, I like Perler Beads a lot, but I don't make them because I can't add anything else to my life.
Fair.
My wife's like, you can do it, but don't try to make a business out of it. You know, don't try to sell them. And I'm like, you know, I would go down that road at some point. Like, it would.
Oh, if I could do it, I would have the whole lineup probably.
They're oh, there's certain ones that I have a couple Perler Bees near me. I have a Hollow Knight next to me, and I have Chrono Trigger. That's it. One was a gift from a friend, and the other ones I bought at a convention. But yeah, no, I can't add anything else to my life. But no, I would love to have like a evil Ryu Perler Bead sprite of him, because he just looks awesome in this. Him and Ryu and Ken, maybe Akuma. I think that would be good.
I respect that.
But they couldn't be very big. They have to be small because they're chibi. They gotta be small.
Yeah. How about? Yeah, I was gonna say, how about yourself? Do you have anything that you need to add to this?
Other than like, I think. Well, yeah, I got one last thing I wanted. Like the whole when I found out more about the history of these, that got me interested. Like when I was, because what really, besides you mentioned this, which I forgot about as the years went on, was Top Hat Gaming having a whole thing about this, and that's what got. It was like him just talking about this series and talking about the history with it. And I just was like, okay, this is really cool. So, yeah. I mean, I am interested enough to want to mess with more of the series. I want to try the other SNK games. I want to try the Capcom ones and make fun of the fact that I wouldn't know it, but the sprite that they use, they never updated from Oregon. So
if you want the best example of that, play Capcom versus SNK2. That'll give you a very large roster and your generic Morgana sprite that's still so cartoony looking.
Was there not another Darkstalkers game? I thought there were three of them.
Well, there is, but I'm saying, you know, if you want to get into the Capcom versus SNK spirit.
Well, yeah, I was just wondering, did they never update her sprite in those games either? I mean, they had to, I'm assuming.
I think they did, but it's so very little.
I don't know anything about Darkstalkers other than it exists.
I guess that's another episode for another time.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. But the last thing I do want to mention or talk about, like the fact that it had BB Hood, Felicia, and Morgan, I appreciate that they did that.
Oh, that's the spirit of SNK versus Capcom. It's not Street Fighter versus King of Fighters. You know, they're pulling characters from Capcom other.
Thinks that from what I saw, but
well, no, because SNK like. It's representative by, well, again, mostly Sam Show, Art. They're all the same game. I know I'm going to get shit for that, but you know deep down in your hearts, Art of Fighting, King of Fury, Fatal Fury, King of Fighters, they're all the same game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mean nothing to me, but you keep going.
They're all the same game. They share characters. They eventually all played the same. Oh, there you go.
Okay. So, yeah, I think that's everything that we need to say. So let's go to Shelf Stacker Box. I'll go first. I'm going to put this... So I'm a little torn. Part of me is like, yeah, I'm going to put it lower. But then again, I played it for 8 hours and there's still the interest to sit there and grind out the last achievement for no reason. So it's going to go on the shelf because this was a fun little fighter and this was a very entertaining game and that I just sunk 8 hours into and it made me happy to finally do that. So go on the shelf. And I'm glad that because of you mentioned it, it was over 3 years ago.
It was a while.
It was a while. I want to say it's 2021 when we did that episode. So,
damn, yeah.
Because it was after Mike had joined after the other guys left and he convinced me to start doing top 10s. And we only did a couple before. And so I want to say it's 2021 because we did that. It was one of the early ones. And yeah, So 2021, I'm pretty sure. I could look up, but I don't care enough. But yeah, because you mentioned it was always on my mind. And what about you?
Oh, it's definitely a shelf. You can't make my top 10 list of games, of handheld games or something, and not be on my shelf. Again, I've said everything. It's a perfect little pocket fighter. And that's something you should probably play, Pocket Fighter.
Pocket Fighter.
Oh, well, after I say this. So yeah, shelf. It's easy. It's what you want in a fighting game. It hits all the sweet spots, and you can pick it up and play if you had a pocket or on the Switch or Steam Deck. You can still pick it up and play. So there we go.
Okay. All right. Pocket Fighter is a PS1 game?
Yes, but you can find it on, I think it got released in a collection. It's not strictly Street Fighter. There's some Darkstalker characters in there.
But it's all Capcom.
It is another chibi style game, but with Street Fighter. And there are so many references to every Capcom game, whether in the special moves, the backgrounds. There is just insane. Like, if you're playing as Chun-Li and you do a combo, she will like transform into Jill Valentine and shoot a rocket launcher at one point. It's so many little callbacks. And it's it's a fleshed out fighting game. It's fun. It's just goofy. Like,
you got my attention, buddy. You just got to tell me if it's somewhere where I can easily play it. Well, PS1, I can easily play it other ways too, so I'm not too worried. But all right.
Yeah, and you'll appreciate it, because while you're playing, like, occasionally, like when you KO your person, they do the little Mega Man bubble exploding. But I'm telling you, it's packed with references.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining me, Adam. And where can people find you at?
Talk Games Chew Bubblegum. I know I was saying it there for a while that we were coming back and we were coming back, but we're back. We're having fun. Again, thanks to you. It would have never have started. And thanks to you for keeping my interest in when we weren't recording. And yeah.
I'm glad. I'm glad that I'm always happy I get people to start shows.
Love it. We are having a blast.
Because this won't come out for a couple months from the time we're recording. It's just to warn you at this point. But
no, but still. We'll still be doing it.
I'm really glad that you guys are back in our podcast. And so by the time people hear this, he should have even more episodes up for you to go listen to.
That's right.
So, right. And if you would like this episode, you can find everything we do on Podbean. We have over 550 other episodes of this podcast. We do movies, games, comics, TV shows, all sorts of stuff. Go look through our giant catalog. I don't really have anything else that fits with this. We have one Street Fighter thing. We did the Street Fighter movie, but I don't know if I recommend that, where he bitched for 2 hours or an hour and a half, but it's there. So... different time too, different cast, different time, different style of podcasting. But you can go check that out. You want to support the show, we do a Patreon, little dog. You vote in our Patreon poll, you will see a link in the show notes, so please go do that. Also, we have a Discord. Please join our Discord, chat with us. You link in the show notes to the invite code in every show notes. It works. I make sure of that. So just join us. Talk with us. And want to give a shout out to my awesome intro and outro courtesy, Elena at Hell Has Fury. You can follow her on TikTok. You will see in Twitch and Instagram. You will see a link to her link tree to all her stuff. Definitely go check her out. And please go follow Gamer Looks at 40 with Bill Tucker, who's on this podcast quite often. Definitely go check him out. And check out Nomads of Fantasy, another podcast that I work with. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Thread, Blue Sky, and YouTube. Audio only, but we are on all those platforms. I think that's everything I need to say, so we will see you guys next time. Bye, everybody.
See ya.